This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The Combine is going on now in Indianapolis. You had Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji and Joe Shane speaking at the Combine. Of course, there wasn't a ton said. The Jets want to distance themselves from Aaron Rodgers. No more questions about him as they're moving forward. And Joe Shane, of course, he's been pretty good about saying nothing his entire career. The only time we saw anything, of note and interest from Joe Shane is when the cameras were on him candidly, and he, of course, stepped in it on off-season Hard Knocks. So you're not going to get a ton from these guys. What I did get from Mooji is that he's just your classic sort of general manager cut from, you know, the cookie cutter type of guy that if he drafts the right players, great. But if he doesn't, he's just going to be one of those dudes that we hate. And then Aaron Glenn is coming in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder in every one of these press conferences, and he's looking to battle, which may be a good thing, maybe a bad thing. But you're not going to get anything from the Giants on what they're trying to do at the quarterback position.
No, of course not.
So we'll see. I still think that they're heavily interested in Stafford. I think that they would love to get Matthew Stafford there. And I think that they probably believe if Matthew Stafford comes and they get, you know, 3 years out of him, they could probably make the playoffs next year.
I'm just going to warn you about what happened with the Jets. You know, is this the season that Matthew Stafford gets hurt when he comes here? I mean, that's always the potential that I worry about with older players. As good as Matthew is, and he can still throw, he can still play, he's still a top-end quarterback. And as we went through those $50 million quarterbacks yesterday,
yeah,
and we talked about who would you rather have, Matthew Stafford or this $50 million quarterback, I think there were only four or five guys that we thought that we would take over him.
Yeah, it was four out of the nine. So
okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's a real thing. And I think there is a real respect for his ability and his throwing ability. There's no question about that. But again, like, if the Vegas Raiders are interested and Tom Brady is reaching out to his people, I mean, if you are the Rams and you can't afford what maybe the Vegas Raiders want to pay, and I believe that Pete Carroll wants a veteran quarterback. And he's probably looking at it going, man, if I could get Matthew Stafford, maybe at least I can compete in this AFC West, because that is the AFC West is loaded now.
Yeah.
So you got Justin Herbert out there, Bo Nix out there, and, of course, Patrick Mahomes out there. And at least I have Matthew Stafford. At least I can go toe-to-toe with these guys.
Man, if I were the Rams, I would keep him and do everything I could to keep him. Because if you think about last year, you know, this was a team in the Rams that got hot towards the end. You know, they killed the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs. Then they go into Philadelphia in the snow and go toe-to-toe with the Eagles and almost win that game. And mind you, and it would just happen, so I don't need to remind anybody, The next two games the Eagles played, they blew out their opponents.
In other words, the Rams were right there.
The Rams were right there.
So the Rams finished the season winning five out of their last six. And they lost that last game to Seattle 30-25, but that game didn't mean anything.
Yeah, they played Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo played, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and then they end up, you know, in the playoffs, they beat Minnesota at home and ended up, well, no, it wasn't at home. They moved it to Arizona, remember, with the fires.
27-9.
Yep, and then they were right there with the Eagles in the snow, and like essentially, you know, a turf team in the snow against the league's best team. And Stafford played well, and they couldn't stop Saquon, obviously. But and then, the Commanders get walloped. The Chiefs get walloped. So if I'm Sean McVay, I'm Les Snead, I'm like, man, we got to make another run at this with Matthew Stafford. And how much are they paying him this year? Like, how much of a raise would that be?
Oh, it would be significant.
Really?
Yes, it would be very significant. I think he's got scheduled to make $27 million this year.
Hmm. Let's see. He signed the four-year deal at $160 million. Yeah. So he's got a base salary of 26 and a signing proration at 12. So, yeah, it'd be significant.
Right. And he has an opt-out.
He does.
Yeah, that's the point. You know, he wants more guaranteed money. Like I would want.
Right, yeah.
If I were him, I would say, look, wait, man, I'm 37 years old. I'm relatively healthy. I could still play. I'm better than this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. Yeah, my number should be $50 million a year with 110 guaranteed.
Yeah, so the cash that he'd be making in 2025 under this current contract would be $27 million. So, yeah, I mean, it would be, that's why the Rams, I guess, would be hesitant because that is, I mean, you're almost talking double what he's making next year.
And his cap hit next year, if he did stay with the Rams without opting out, his cap hit is still $50 million.
So in essence, but I guess the cap hit would go up. If his cash was $50 million, then the cap hit would go up,
it's
too.
It's a weird contract, and he knows he wants more money.
Yeah, and he wants the, as you like to say, the one last bite of the apple, right? Isn't that the phrase?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And even though he's made close to $400 million, he's thinking, hell, played really well last year, got a couple years left at the very least, time to cash in. I'm seeing some of these other quarterbacks make, Trevor Lawrence is making that type of money, guys, and done squat in the NFL.
Say the same thing about Justin Herbert.
Yeah, same deal. Who's got a, man, that guy's got a lot of pressure on him next year. I think that whole honeymoon, Justin Herbert can throw the ball and he looks great thing.
They gotta get some wide receivers around him. I mean, they gotta get some quality players around him. You remember they basically, I think, lost three wide receivers.
Yeah.
That were top end wide receivers.
You know, Keenan Allen, they had Mike Williams. Who else did they lose in that situation? But still, those two guys were there for a while and they weren't there last year. Ari in Valley Cottage. What's going on, Ari?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Ari. What's up?
So, you know, we talk about sometimes athletes coming to New York and not being able to handle the spotlight. And, you know, I don't think Stafford would have that problem coming from L.A., but it's more of a question for Boomer being a former athlete. Do you worry that maybe some athletes can't handle cold weather? And for whatever reason, and coming to New York, you know, maybe half the season, you're playing close to freezing games. Is that an issue that you think the team needs to worry about?
Yeah, not for Matthew Stafford, it's not. I mean, if you were telling me Tua Tagovailoa, I would say, yeah. I would say that would bother me, and I would worry about, you know, his arm strength, and I would worry about, you know, his size and, you know, his propensity for injury. I would worry about that. But for Matthew Stafford, he's a gunslinger, man. A guy can throw in any conditions. His arm is strong enough, and he is really competitive enough. So I can understand why, if in fact the Giants end up doing something like this, why they would want to do it. And I would endorse it from a standpoint of he's a hell of a player, and he's still got a lot more to give. But however, if I look at it from his eyes, do I want to go to the NFC East, or would I rather go to the AFC West if he has a choice?
Well, I also think, you know, if the Rams,
I want to go inside in Vegas.
Yeah,
that's what I would want.
And also the Rams, if they're trading him somewhere, would rather trade him to an AFC team than an NFC team.
You would think.
But the only way the Giants get him is if they're the only team willing to pay him $50 million a year over the next 3 years. And if there's another option, he's going to probably take that other option. So I don't think he wants to. I mean, the money is important to him. He will take the biggest deal. I believe he will take the. I feel the same way with Juan Soto as I do with Matthew Stafford in this situation. Because Matthew Stafford spent a lot of years in Detroit toiling. He goes to L.A. He wins a championship. He's got that part of his career satisfied. He's thinking, this is it. This is my last contract, and I will go to a team, and you could sell me on any situation if you're going to give me $50 million a year when no one else will. But someone else probably will offer the same thing that the Giants would offer.
I get the Raiders could sign him. I could see the Raiders going after a defensive back. That's Pete Carroll's money spot.
Yeah. Money spot for Pete.
Money spot is the secondary. He loves him some secondary players.
The Legion of Boom.
He loves safeties. He loves cornerbacks.
Mm.
That's his area. So
Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman.
Right. And he will.
Watson.
If they do what in Las Vegas, what they did in Seattle when he first got there, he and John Schneider, they were running guys through there left and right. I mean, they were bringing guys in off the street, late round draft choices, undrafted free agents. And, you know, a couple of those guys stuck for him and ended up playing really good for him. So I would think with a high draft pick in the top 10, if there's one of these two cornerbacks that are sitting there, I could see him taking one of those guys. I could see him taking an edge rusher. And I can also see him possibly taking an offensive tackle. But I would think if they can get Matthew Stafford, that would take a lot of pressure off the offensive side of the ball, and he'd want to rebuild the defense.
Let's go to Kenny in Bayonne. What's going on, Kenny?
Gee, good morning. How are you, sir?
What's up, Kenny? How are you, man?
I'm doing well, thank you. Listen, I mean, you know I'm a Viking fan, but in reference to the Giants, why in God's name would the Giants want Stafford at this point? Their offensive line is putrid. He's going to be back there. He doesn't move. He doesn't run. He's going to get killed back there. Daniel Jones ran around like a chicken with his head chopped off. At least he had wheels. Tommy DeVito, at least he had wheels. He's going to be a statue. And on Stafford's end, granted it's the money, but now he's going to come and have to play outside a minimum of 8 games, where he was playing inside 8 games. I don't see the match.
Probably 9 and 10. It would be a minimum of 10 games because you'd play at Washington and at Philadelphia. They're both outside.
Right.
Plus the 8 or 9 games. I don't know if they have a 9-game home schedule this year or an 8-game home schedule. I'm not sure.
Kenny, though, what would be your biggest criticism when you were watching Daniel Jones? It's something we talked about a ton.
He holds the ball too long.
What does Matthew Stafford do?
Releases the ball quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's accurate, and he's a proven commodity, and he's also a guy that plays the position the way the position's supposed to be played.
But he also, I agree with you, but he also had tremendous wide receivers. You've got neighbors in 3 days of rain.
Yeah, well, who are they going to draft, though? If they have Matthew Stafford, they may end up taking...
Or who do they bring in as a free agent?
Right, I mean, T. Higgins. I mean, so the roster isn't built... And Malik Nabers had a massive season with a horrendous quarterback situation.
If you told me that the Giants ended up with Matthew Stafford, I would tell you I would understand that they did this because of their current situation with the general manager and the head coach, and they have to win.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't go through another 4-win season.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't... Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are really good players, but...
Malik Nabers can be something special.
This is what I'm saying. And do Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp have the same success somewhere else without Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford? I mean, we won't know, but Malik Nabers is more talented than both of those guys.
Yeah, I would understand why they would do it, because they have to do it if they want to save their jobs. Because, you know, if they bring in a young quarterback and they go, you know, 3-14 or 4-13, guess what? They're all going to get fired. And the new quarterback that you brought in is going to have to learn another new system. How many times have we seen this?
Yeah, I mean, it's just over and over and over and over and over again. So, I mean, if they could, I mean, they're not going to draft a quarterback at 3 and also bring Matthew Stafford in. That's not going to happen, because that guy would be sitting for at least two full years.
If you sign Matthew Stafford, then it takes the pressure off the having to draft that quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Or maybe you draft Jackson Dart in the second round.
I'm turning you on to it a little bit more, aren't I?
Well, I mean, again, I understand why they would do it. The question I would have is, why the hell are the Rams considering it?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you. I mean, the best thing I could say is... that they're looking at his age and the questions you bring up about Aaron Rodgers and making the comparison with Matthew Stafford. We're going to give him double the amount of money. And, you know, that would be the only thing. You know, it would be, can we win with somebody else who's making far less than Matthew Stafford is the question that they have to answer. And if Sean McVay thinks yes, which he may, because he might be like, hey, it's my system. I'm great. I brought Jared Goff to the Super Bowl. I can figure this out.
Well, he also has Jimmy Garoppolo there. I'm not saying that he's the end-all, be-all, but at least he has somebody that, you know, if he wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo there, he could. Or he could bring in Aaron Rodgers on a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what they're thinking. Maybe they're saying, hell, you know, sorry, Matthew, but you can go for $50 million a year. The next 3 years, we'll pay Aaron Rodgers $1.2 million, and this will be the year he stays healthy. He's out here in California now, put right. a nice, good team around him.
And if you're Aaron Rodgers, you'd say, sure.
Oh, that would be.
I don't have to go anywhere. I could stay in my Malibu house, and I could play for the Rams and Sean McVay. Why wouldn't I want to do that?
Yeah, he'd be hitting the jackpot with that one. That would be as good as it gets for him. I mean, you could not create a better situation for him. I mean,
if that's the situation that unfolds.
Yeah, but that would be, I mean, you let Stafford go. He just turned 37 in this month. So you're letting Stafford go at 37. You're bringing in 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
On $1.2 million as opposed to $50 million over 3 years?
Are you going to get better? I mean, you're basically trying to win the Super Bowl next year, which I think is not crazy. With what I just said about how close they were to beating the Eagles.
It's a weird situation that they're in because they have an unhappy player who wants a new contract.
Yeah, which happens all the time in the NFL, does it not?
Well, I mean, this is where the player definitely has some leverage here because he has the opt-out.
True. Yeah, I mean, and he's probably, like, dumbfounded. See, you know, I feel like Matt Stafford and Kelly Stafford, the stuff they put out there, like, they're probably, like, dumbfounded by the fact that they aren't paying him what they're paying him. Be like, I mean, look at this season I just had. I was the quarterback that won you guys a Super Bowl, for God's sakes.
Yes.
You got rid of the other guy. You brought me in. I won the Super Bowl. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Pay me. Pay me, bitch.
That's exactly right.
That's probably what they're saying.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, I was thinking about something. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but something got me thinking about this.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you guys an email, and I'm going to ask you for 5 things that you accomplished today during the show. and I want an answer from you by tomorrow morning show.
Okay. What do we do today type of thing?
Yeah, like what did you accomplish?
What did I accomplish today?
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Al could say he called Coco.
That's definitely one of my bullet points.
Right. What's give me another bullet point maybe you have.
Prep the show sheet.
Prep the show sheet. That's a good one.
Screened terrible phone calls.
That's a good one. That's 3.
Wrote up descriptions for the podcast.
Well, I mean, what about the warm-up show? You can put that on there. Did an hour radio for us.
Yeah, but I'm concerned about our 4 hours together.
Okay.
I'm not worried about his
hour.
Other...
1 hour is not significant to you?
No, it is significant to me, but I'm not a part of that.
Scheduled all live reads.
Okay. 5.
Yep.
There you go.
Bang. Good. 5.
Boom.
And speaking of Al and Jerry from 5 to 6, we don't have the regular television on here any longer. It's just the monitor, so I can't see what's on when you guys are on. And we always talk about what CBS Sports Network puts on from 5 to 6 other than Al and Jerry. But luckily, they had CBS Sports Network on in the commissary the other day, and it was the 2000 Canadian Open 25 years ago.
Which beam? Wow. Did Mike Weir win it?
No, Tiger won it.
Oh, Tiger won, of course.
But it was the 2000 Canadian Open they dusted off.
Was that the one where he hit that ridiculous shot over the water on 18?
I'm not sure.
To win?
It might have been. I don't know. I was a senior in high school.
So Tiger Woods at the age of, 20-something, really relevant compared to what we talked about today.
What did you guys talk about today?
A lot of different stuff, as we always do. We did. A lot of NFL. We did. Yeah. We opened with baseball, actually.
Robot umpires.
Yeah.
Oh, the ABS.
Because of Max Scherzer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who do we talk to at CBS to get us on television?
I don't know.
5 to 6.
You're going
to
tell me what they have is better than what we're doing? They're doing bull riding.
Right. Bull riding.
We're better.
We are 100% better.
Yes, I think we need to get that done at some point.
Well, we haven't.
So. All right, here's a good question for you. So what do you think the earnings were for Tiger Woods 25 years ago winning the Canadian Open?
$400,000.
It's a good guess.
I would say more than that. I would say
the Canadian Open, really?
Yeah.
25
years ago. You said, what'd you say?
I said 400,000.
I'd say 750.
$594,000.
We're right in the middle.
Right.
Some of these other names, man. Rory Sabatini.
Yeah.
Scott Verplank.
Oh, I used to love Scott Verplank.
Grant Waite. Sergio finished third.
Well, now you know why Tiger won all those tournaments.
Yeah. Steve Flesch.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, lefty.
Flesch, yeah.
He was a good player.
Yeah. So that what was on instead of you guys. 2000 Canadian Open.
I would have watched.
Bull riding. Old strongest man competition.
That's the one that gets me. Yeah. Here's the strongest man from 1978.
Yeah. Magnus Samuelsson, the boulder that he's lifting above his head.
It's so true.
A lot of those guys, man, I don't know. Like, they, you find out that they don't live very long.
Yeah. You know who I saw recently? Remember Sean T from Insanity?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So he's become a bodybuilder.
Mm.
And he tried putting out one of these YouTube videos recently where he went and did one of his old Insanity videos. He does not look like the same human being. He's enormous.
He got put on a lot of muscle, huh?
Yeah, I would say 75 pounds
of muscle.
Well, because if you watch him in Insanity, he's trimmed down, he's strong, and he's fit, and he looks like an athlete. In this, he looks like a bodybuilder. He's enormous.
Didn't you do that because they were a sponsor? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did, yeah. And he tried. He did try.
Yeah.
Al didn't care for it, right? You didn't really... And I had to lose any weight.
Okay.
But you did. I remember you doing that. I stuck with it about 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. 5 years.
Well, it was the best shape I've ever been in. And since then, it's been all downhill. Back to fat. All right. Here, I'm going to give you a sound. Tell me what you think this is. What do you think?
It's wind and rain somewhere.
That's a good guess. Those are 2,000 golf balls.
Coming down a hill.
Coming down a ski slope.
Ski slope, yes. I saw this.
I guess the idea was to see how many they set up a little temporary plankboard green to see how many would be a hole-in-one out of 2,000.
They were coming down too fast.
Zero, I agree. But a bunch of them hit the stick and then just ricocheted.
But they were coming down way too fast.
Zero out of 2,000. So there you have it. And I did see episode one of Full Swing. Very good.
I didn't get a chance to yesterday, but they do a... Netflix does just everything right.
They do a good job.
Their documentaries are good. Full Swing
is the Kevin Durant thing on Netflix too, or is that Amazon?
It's not Netflix.
It's not Netflix. Okay.
No, the Aaron Rodgers is Netflix.
Yes, right. All right, here's Aaron Glenn. Couple of things. Well, let me give you the one. I talked about him being on the Jets website yesterday in Indianapolis. Here he is, and this goes to what you were talking about at 6:30 about wanting to be here and what this means to him. Here he was talking about being the head coach of the Jets and kind of thinking forward to what that night's going to be like, you know, meaning opening day as he runs out of the tunnel.
It gets pretty emotional, right, when I think about it. Think about this first game of really actually coming out and in front of this team, knowing I'm the head coach of this team. I don't know what my reactions would be. I'm actually looking forward to it. But you're right, man. We're going to put our hard hat on. That's one thing about a New York Jet. We are a blue-collar operation.
I just hope it goes better than Aaron Rodgers running out of the tunnel.
So remember back in 1994, who was the head coach of the Jets? Pete Carroll. Who was his first draft choice?
Aaron Glenn.
Where's Pete Carroll these days? Head coaching. Where's Aaron Glenn? Head coach. What sport are they playing?
Football.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Everything's just so
incestuous.
It goes
back to what I was thinking, that if the Vegas Raiders get a hold of Matthew Stafford, guess what? They'll be drafted a defensive back.
Mm-hmm. And then you know what we're going to get then? What did I tell you?
What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
Oh, man. As for the Giants... Clearly, Joe Shane referencing Daniel Jones. If I'm wrong, you tell me.
We made some decisions after that first year when we won, and you know they didn't work out. So again, we're where we are, and again, I feel like we have the resources to improve the roster, and that's what's exciting about this time of year.
Basically, he's saying we screwed up. Basically, he said we're screwed up signing. You know, Daniel Jones. What he said there.
Certainly sounds like it.
We made some decisions after that first year, and we. Didn't work out.
No, they did not.
No.
And he is no longer here. Nor is Charles Barkley. Saquon Barkley, who obviously had a lot of success this year, and it just wrapped up in New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm happy for Saquon. Obviously, he went on to win the Super Bowl, and we wish him nothing but the best. Always going to evaluate all the decisions you make, and we were at a different place in our build. And, again, love Saquon and wish him nothing but the best.
I think maybe now we're done with it.
I hope so.
To be, right?
I mean, God's sakes.
Like, it makes sense you asked him about it because it's the first time we heard from him since the Super Bowl. At this point, though, we good?
I would hope so. I mean, I've been past it with the Giants part of it for a long time.
Well, I guess it all depends on what Saquon does next year.
He runs for 3,000.
I mean, you know, he also could get hurt the first game.
True.
And miss the entire season, and then that kind of, you know, accentuates the decision-making as to why you wouldn't give somebody like that guaranteed money. But, you know, you hope that doesn't happen. But I also saw where Howie Roseman said that he believes that Saquon Barkley had the greatest offensive season ever outside of a quarterback. When you put all the numbers together, all the long touchdown runs and catches and everything else, you, according to Howie Roseman, it may be the greatest single offensive season a player's
Randy
ever had.
Randy Moss with the Vikings that one year?
Yeah, well, 98.
Was something like I never saw before.
I'll give you another Vikings one I thought about. It was Adrian Peterson won the MVP.
Yeah.
After his knee reconstruction. Right. That was one of the craziest things ever.
Fair enough.
I mean, there's been a lot of guys who have been awesome, but, you know, it's, that was 2012, 2013. It really is amazing, though, that I know we're done with the Giants thing, but the fact that he goes to the Eagles, he leaps over somebody backwards in the course of a season. They go to the Super Bowl and win it. It's like it could not have gone worse.
Yeah.
It really could.
Or better for him.
Yeah,
depending upon the way you look at it. Let's see. Don't have a ton of time. So you guys mentioned the tush push. Now, I played Sean McDermott yesterday talking about how even though they do it a little bit, he doesn't like it either. Here was Raheem Morris on the play.
This would have been illegal 3 years ago. No, the tush push play, I was never been a big fan. There's just no other play in our game where you can absolutely get behind somebody and push them, pull them off, do anything.
All right, so there's McDermott, there's Morris on it, and then Nick Sirianni did respond essentially.
I've seen some of the stuff like, you know, that it's an automatic play or, you know, that it's not a... We work really, you know, I almost feel a little insulted because we work so hard at that play.
All right, so fair enough. Don't know if anything will change, but we shall see. Meantime, you guys also brought up Kirk Cousins. This was Terry Fontenot, the Falcons GM, on the Cousins injuries. We know what Cousins said, that he wasn't himself because he was hurt. Didn't forget how to play the quarterback position.
Look, Kirk was on the injury report leading into the Denver game, and he wasn't on the injury report. Outside of that, we're only aware of that particular week. We talked about it when that change was made. It was a football decision. It was based off football decision. There wasn't anything injury-related.
Wow. So maybe he wasn't injured, or they didn't believe him to be injured.
That guy sounds like a Fontenot, doesn't he?
What's your Terry Fontenot?
Like, this sounds like it fits him.
It does. Now, if you thought Kirk Cousins had any chance of going back there and actually starting, this would be Raheem Morris on their quarterback spot.
Michael Penix is our quarterback, and Michael Penix will continue to be our quarterback. We stood it last year, and we talked about looking for that guy, and we believe we found him. And I got so much confidence in Michael Penix leading us into the future, and I believe our whole building does, and I believe our fan base does, and I believe our owner does, that we are really excited about that young man.
So there's your guy. I think that's pretty safe to say. They like Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
The big Penix energy.
Yes, that too.
Do you remember how that whole thing started? That was Desmond Howard who was doing that. Like, he was like, big Penix energy.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was during whatever the show is, you know, College Game Day. And he had the whole crowd like chanting big Penix energy. He wasn't saying Penix energy. He was saying Penix energy.
Now, is that why you said it?
Yeah.
Well, I've been looking for that big Penix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember saying it that way, but somehow Eddie.
Well, you did say it.
That is unedited.
That is unedited. So was I basically regurgitating what they were doing on that TV show or no?
I think you just wanted to say the correct name, but you had that in your head.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Bobby takes the field. He's going to bring that big Penix energy. He's going to bring that big Penix energy. He's going to bring that big Penix energy. Yeah. That's right, Harry. Right. Let's go, baby.
Yeah. awkward.
I would say so.
Jesus.
Speaking of awkward, it's getting awkward in Cleveland. What are the Browns doing with Myles Garrett? Well, if you listen to their GM, Andrew Berry, nothing. He's a Cleveland Brown.
So Myles, as you guys have all heard me say, he's a huge part of our organization, really good person. He's an awesome player. Understand the trade request and everything, but our stance really has not changed. You know, we can't imagine a situation where not having Myles as a part of the organization is best for the Browns.
And of course, we know he not only wants to be traded, he's gone on podcasts talking about teams he'd like to go play for.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his mind, he is gone.
He is checked out.
Well, the interesting thing for him, he's got voidable year contract. And, you know, his salary cap number this year is that right? Couldn't be right.
What's the number it says?
No, the cap hit's only $19
million. Okay.
I thought it was higher than that.
Here's Steelers GM Omar Khan. What are they doing at quarterback? Well, it sounds like Russell Wilson, Justin Fields.
I think ideally, I think, like to sign one of the guys that we had last year. But the reality is they're both free agents. So until we get one of those guys under contract, you know, all options are on the table.
So another team that is in need of a quarterback. NBA-wise, you got the Knicks and Sixers tonight. Oh, I forgot to get the Paul George one for you. I wanted to grab that, and I totally forgot. Let's see if I can grab it real quick. The Sixers have lost 8 in a row. We know things are not going well. Here's George. I don't know where this was or if this was with the media, but this is the mentality of the team.
We've shown no sign of a team that will compete. And, you know, they just don't have, you know, the habits of a champion or a playoff contending team.
How about that? We don't compete. That's a rough one.
We don't have the habits of a championship team or one that even competes.
Yeah, that is really tough. So that's who the Knicks play tonight. Again, 8-game losing streak for Philly. The Nets take on the Thunder. That's on the Fan tonight coming up at 7:20. The big game last night was in L.A. where the Lakers beat the Mavericks 107-99. LeBron James had 27 points, 12 rebounds, and Luka Doncic against his former team, the triple-double, 19-15. And 12, you have spring baseball today with the Yankees and the Cardinals. Mets today taking on the Marlins. And as always, I've got to give Boomer his time here because you had the Rangers taking on the Islanders last night and a Ranger win.
Here's Johnny Brzezinski with a shot. He scores! Did Rempe deflect it in front?
I think so.
Yeah, the big man was there. It's 5-1 Rangers.
Yes, and I actually meant to play the Urho Vakanainen goal, but you get that one instead. Doesn't matter. They win 5-1 as you had 36 saves from Igor Shesterkin. Here was Brzezinski in terms of what he did. He had 2 goals last night.
I think one thing is just putting more pucks towards the net. Sometimes just being a little bit too cute. And you saw with a few of the goals that we got today, just throwing pucks at the net, they just somehow find a way. So do a little bit more of that, and I think we'll get more scoring opportunities, more second chances, and that'll lead to more goals.
And so the Rangers now at 29-25-4. The Islanders 25-25-7. Tonight you've got the Devils in Colorado against the Avalanche.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What are you doing later today?
I got a couple meetings.
You got meetings?
I got a couple meetings that are scheduled, yeah. Sorry about that. I know you're going to play golf. I know you got. Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
What are you? It's a foundation meeting?
Yes.
All right, fine.
Yes.
Then I can't get on you for it.
No. I mean, I do have that other part that I got to handle.
I mean, you don't look at like ahead at the weather?
I don't really think about it.
You
all
don't
I know
think
is that
about it.
Right now in the Dominican Republic, it's beautiful. That weather I am looking at.
Okay, fine. But I mean, to me, it's like you can't schedule meetings on a 55-degree February day.
This is already, it's already in place.
Yeah, but then you move it. You're a Boomer. You move it. You move it. We're going to move this to a cold day. I got stuff to do. I mean, it's really.
You know, I'd love to go ride a bike today. That'd be nice. Maybe I'll get a city bike. What the hell?
By the way, speaking of city bikes, this just popped into my mind because...
Okay. 98% of them don't get used?
No. Not that part of it.
What?
The Luigi Mangione, I guess, got a city bike after he shot the CEO of UnitedHealthcare.
Yes.
Do you know how many people are obsessed with this guy?
Yes.
It has gotten...
Sickness.
It has gotten to the point of absolute sickness. You're right.
Yeah.
So there were people waiting outside in the freezing cold. A bunch of people.
I mean, it looked like it could have been 100, but I wasn't counting them. They were waiting outside in the freezing cold to just get a glimpse of him when he had the court date that one day. And I just read this morning that there are, I guess you can like send him stuff in prison, including pictures. And people are sending so many pictures of themselves to him that he has actually said, can you stop sending pictures of yourselves to me? I really appreciate the support, but I'm limiting the amount of pictures you can send to me to 5. And then it also says, we remind you that every picture has to be screened by law officers and whoever else that work in the jail system. So that means that there are men, women sending like naked pictures to Luigi Mangione, who murdered a man in jail.
Good. Guess what? They'll never get a chance to meet him.
Yeah. Well, I hope not. Let's put it that way. I hope not.
No.
But I mean, like, I understand he's like a good looking kid, but what are we doing?
I'm just more concerned whether or not the McDonald's person's going to get their reward.
Yeah, I know. And they still haven't. I mean, what a joke that is. What an absolute joke. You were all over that in the beginning.
Yeah.
What a joke. I mean, that's who we should be sending naked pictures to.
Exactly.
McDonald's employee, not Mangione, for God's sakes. Yeah. And if you ever see a picture on X of Luigi Mangione and then look at the comments, it's all people that are groveling, just drooling over this guy.
I would do tasteful nudes as well. That's the only way to do nudes. You don't want raunchy nudes.
You don't want hustler type nudes, right? You want the tasteful nudes, like the Playboy tasteful nudes.
The soft nudes.
Like these are like... So softcore porn. But imagine being an adult. Like, these people are adults. They've got brains. They've got what I believe to be fully developed brains, who are taking naked pictures of themselves and sending them through a system so a man who murdered another man can see them naked.
A nude man butt.
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me?
I cannot explain it to you. There's a lot of things I can't explain. And a lot of things defy common sense. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, if there were a psychiatrist or a psychologist or whatever that could explain this to me. Like, I guess Al would know. Ted Bundy was a good-looking guy. And there were women that used to show up to his trial.
Oh, yeah.
So this is not a new thing.
Yeah, he was supposedly the handsome serial killer.
Yeah, he killed women, right?
Correct, yeah.
And lots of them.
Anybody showing up at Rex Uhrman's trials?
No. He was in court again yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. And his defense attorney, I mean, this guy's just, you know, walking around. There's just sludge coming off him. This guy, this slimy sludge ball. And the things he's trying to do to try to get this guy off. Come on. Stop. You see, Diddy's attorney left the case. He goes, I can no longer be a part of this.
I can't do this anymore.
I can't do this anymore. That's what I want this guy to do with Huberman. I can't do this anymore. I can't defend this
guy.
Well,
you know, maybe because Diddy's lawyer sees that sooner or later one of these lists are going to be coming out.
Yeah, well, of course.
He says, look, man, this list comes out, I don't want to be anywhere near you.
Sorry.
Right.
Toxic situation.
Yes.
Let's go to Chris in Cranford. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Gio. You mentioned YouTube before, and I've been meaning to call in and tell you about this, but I have a new obsession for you. Have you seen the Golf Girl games on YouTube?
No, I have not seen that, no.
You're going to love this. These are 4 very attractive young women. They're super good at golf. They travel all around the country playing in these different courses. They play these crazy games that you could play when we go out there. And then the best thing about it is, after they lose, they do all these like crazy punishments. Like, the loser's got to eat cat food or drink like soda, the whole bottle. It's phenomenal. Mm. I've actually learned a lot from just watching them.
Oh, I'm sure you have. I mean, listen, I have not seen that, and I watch YouTube golf almost every day. If I were to then put up like hot women on the TV.
Yes.
It's just not going to go well. I
no.
mean, Gina tolerates the fact that I watch it all day.
Yeah.
But I'm watching guys like Fat Perez and Joey Coldcuts and Grant Horvat. And,
yeah, a lot of you can always do this in your office.
Beef and Trent Ryan and all these guys. I can't put that on in my
head. Yeah, no, you can do this in your office with your vajankles.
With my vajankles. Andrew Bogish out there, by the way, works for Infinity Sports Network. He said, I was traumatized by those vajankles. I haven't been able to stop thinking about them and why this exists and what happens and what do you do afterwards and all of these. He couldn't stop thinking about it. I was like, I'll give you one if you want one. He's like, no. I don't want to see it again. It's one of those things where he's telling me how disgusted he was by it. He probably was like really intrigued by it. Yeah. One of those things.
Maybe he wants one.
This is gross. How dare you show me this vajankle?
Yeah.
But if I'm a crazy person would use one of those things.
Did he touch it?
He didn't. I asked him to.
And he wouldn't touch it.
I said, squeeze this thing. It's like a stress ball. You're going to love it. He's like, I don't want to love it, man. Him and Jerry had an all-time line. He's like, really? What do you do when you're done with that? Put in the dishwasher?
Of course, that's what Jerry's thinking about.